Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we should be just about there if we're not already. Yeah, I believe it's 11:30, and I want to welcome you in to the services here at Faith Baptist Church. If you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio or one of the subsequent places after we record on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, or wherever, but we're thankful that you've tuned in to listen to our services today, and it is Mother's Day, and we want to give a warm welcome to all the mothers who are listening to us today. And God did something tremendously special when he created a mother. There's nothing in this world as comforting as a mother, as a child. There's nothing in this world that a child wants more when they're hurt than to go to their mother. That's a place of comfort like no other, except for the Lord. And God created that mother's love. God created that mother's heart. God created that mother's touch. The tenderness, that's of the Lord. That's God's tenderness revealed in flesh. And so rejoice, those of you that are mothers, that you have gotten to be a possessor of those charms that God imparts, because otherwise we wouldn't know them. God's the one who creates that, and I thank God for it. And I've told her today, told so many times, but I'm biased, but I believe I've got the best one that ever stood on two legs. But that's just me. I know she doesn't feel that way, but I feel that way. But and I just give God glory for it all. Amen. But anyway, today is Getting to Know Jesus Part 121, and here on this 12th day of May 2019. Take your Bible this morning and turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to find ourselves in verse 11, and we'll read verse 11 down through verse 19. And I ask for you to pray for me today. I had a root canal done yesterday evening, and a little under the weather today. And so need God's power today, so I ask you to pray for me. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. You found that in your Bible? Let's begin to read now. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I come before you this morning again, as I already have once before, and I pray, Father, for your power over this service. Lord God, I pray, Father, that the Holy Ghost of God might rest on me, that, Lord, the power of God might work through me and speak through these lips of clay, Lord, to bring Jesus honor and glory, Lord, to show some lost soul the way of eternal life, Lord, to remind the saints of our duty to Christ. Lord God, I pray, Father, that the Holy Ghost speak to hearts. Lord, I can only speak the word, but the Holy Ghost of God can speak to hearts, and I pray today that he would. I pray today that he move upon lives, that he move upon hearts. Lord, that people have ears to hear. Father, that they understand the word of God. Lord, that it not fall on deaf ears. Oh, Father, I plead with you today. Lord God, please touch us. We need you in this late hour that we live in, Father. in this lost and dying world that's so sin sick and choking on, Lord, choking on its own filth. I pray, Father, somebody out in the darkness sees the light and comes to it today. I pray, Father, that they come and they are cleansed and made free and made whole. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And as we get started this morning on this, I want you to notice the case of these 10 men. The Bible says they were lepers. We don't talk about leprosy very much. We don't see leprosy in America. I haven't ever seen anybody that I knew of that had leprosy walking around in this country. Modern medicine and modern science has progressed to the point to where they're able to keep it at bay, and it's primarily only in third world countries where cleanliness is not a premium, where hygiene is not well thought of, I guess, or not able to be taken care of. But it's not curable by man. You know, that's one thing about it. It's a horrible disease. Leprosy is a picture in the Bible of sin. If there were ever anything in the Bible that gives a very clear picture of what sin is and what sin does, and I want you to hear me this morning, this is it. It is incurable by man, this disease of leprosy. Sin, you know, men try to do everything they can in this world to get rid of their sin. I mean, they'll worship a stump. They'll make up a god. They'll make up hundreds of gods. They'll imagine all kinds of things. They'll do all kinds of rituals. They'll meditate. They'll carry around crystals around their neck. They'll tie strings around their wrists. And I remember talking to one of these. Y'all remember years ago? I don't know how many years ago. Maybe 10, 15. There was this thing where all these people were wearing these red strings around their wrists. They're part. They read the Kabbalah. They called it Kabbalism or whatever. It's Jewish, basically Jewish sorcery is what it was and what it is. But I remember meeting a guy in Paris who he had a red string around his wrist, and someone introduced me as a pastor to him, and we had this awkward conversation, and I asked him. I said, let me ask you a question. I've never met anybody that believed in Kabbalah. I said, what do y'all do about sin? And his answer was, he said, well, we do all kinds of meditations and chanting and things of that nature. I said, yeah, but what does that do for your sin? And he couldn't answer me. You can't get rid of it, no matter what you would like to do. Some people think they can live a good life from this point on and erase what's been done in the past. But it's impossible. Leprosy, like sin, it's impossible for man to do anything about it. We can't get rid of it. I'll tell you something else leprosy does, and again, it's a horrible disease, and the skin turns pale, and crusty sores begin to form on top of the skin, and there's all kinds of things that happen, and I'll tell you that in just a second. But people that have this disease, because it is a contagious disease, and because it's such a horrible disease, it separates people. If somebody's found to have leprosy, what they would do is they would have to leave. They'd have to get out of their house. They'd have to get out of their family. They couldn't be around society because people are so afraid of getting it. They would absolutely put them apart. They had to go and live outside of the camp of where everybody else lived. They had to live out there by themselves. And you know what? That's what sin will do. Sin will separate family members. Sin will, when somebody goes off into some great, grave, heinous sin, listen, that it separates family. Listen, those that are serving God, those that are trying to live for God, those that are trying to please Him and glorify Him with their life, the people that are living in sin, they don't want to be close to that. They're going to stay separate from it. Why? Because they're living unclean. They're living a life that's unclean, and they can't themselves. They don't want to be brought into the light. They don't want their sin exposed. Listen, those that are living for God, they don't want that filth invading their life and tempting them. So there's a separation that leprosy causes and sin causes. Leprosy is second only to a dead body in its level of uncleanness as far as the Hebrew people looked at it. Lepers lived, like I said, lepers lived outside the camp together. They lived in colonies. And anywhere there's lepers now today, there's in over in India, they live in colonies. People don't want them living amongst them. And if you ever notice, you know, places like bars and they keep them dark. People gather together in there. They cluster together. Those whose lives are wrecked, those who are living in sin, they tend to flock together in these places. Generally, in places where people that love the Lord don't go. Right? I mean, I'm not trying to be graphic, but you know, the girly bars and the houses of ill repute, they're all always away from the neighborhoods. They're all in some industrial area downtown where they're away from everything else. This is sin. Sin has to be separated from righteousness and holiness. And leprosy had to be separated from those who did not have it. Why? Because if you intermingled them, then everybody would have it. And when you let sin creep into a house, when you let sin creep into a marriage, when you let sin creep into a place of business, into a school, into anything, it does nothing but corrupt and destroy, just like leprosy. It caused skin sores, grotesque skin sores. You ever notice what sin does to somebody? Somebody that's lived in sin all their life, you ever notice, you see the lines, the hard lines in their face, the hard look in their eyes? It destroys. You take somebody that's been on a whiskey bottle all their life, and you look at them, you can tell it's destroyed their body. It's torn them down. It's wore them down. Sin will do that to you. Take somebody young and in the prime of their life and let them get hooked on meth, and you watch what it'll do to them. I've seen horrible things. Horrible things. Seen videos of people flopping around on the ground, look like one of those little men they put out in front of used car lots that blow air in and they flop their arms around. That's the way that stuff will do people. Listen, there are people all around us whose lives are wrecked, and it's tragic, and they're living like a bunch of lepers around us. Causes nerve damage. You know, there's a verse of scripture over in Ephesians chapter 4. Talks about, well, Paul's talking to the Ephesians, and he said, hey, I'm again in verse 17. I want to read to you down through verse 19. He says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." He's saying, don't live your lives like all these other sinners out here live. They're all puffed up in their mind thinking that they're okay. Hey, listen, this is my life. I'll live it how I want to. In the empty-headedness of their mind, having their understanding darkened, they can't see. They cannot see things God's way. They have their understandings darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Listen, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. They don't even feel guilty about their sin anymore. And matter of fact, they just want to do it more and more and more and more. Being past feeling. So I don't understand how somebody can live like that. Well, they're past feeling. See what happens to somebody with leprosy? Their nerves begin to die off. And they can walk by and drag their arm on a piece of jagged metal and cut themselves open and bleed. They wouldn't even know it because they can't feel it. And because they can't feel it, it doesn't bother them. And infection sets in, and they're already weak in the immune system anyway. And listen, their limbs begin to rot off. They lose fingers. They lose their nose. They lose ears. Leprosy is horrible. They lose their feeling. That's what sin does to us. We don't realize it. See, it just starts off as a little place. Starts off small. So leprosy starts off like a little white spot, maybe a funny colored hair. Something, oh, that's odd. What is this? This little spot. We see things, we're worried about cancer. Back then, they used to worry about leprosy. It starts off small. You know what? That's the way sin starts in our lives, too. It starts off small. It's no big deal. That's not going to hurt me. That's the thing we say. Oh, it's not. I'm not doing nothing terrible. I'm just doing this. It's no big deal. I can quit this anytime I want to. I'm fine. But what it is, see, once it starts, you can't stop it on your own. You can't cure it on your own. Starts off small, but it ends up destroying your whole life. You see what happens with leprosy? The person ends up dead because of the leprosy. Sin causes spiritual death. Sin destroys. So here's the thing about leprosy. It can only be cured by God. I want you to turn your Bible. I want you to turn your Bible to Leviticus 14. Leviticus 14. God is the only one that can cure leprosy. Leviticus chapter 14. And I'm reading there beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. So I want you to make note of that he was to be brought to the priest. And we're going to see that again when we read back in our text. Okay? So he had to be brought to the priest, and something had to be done in order for him to be healed. And we're going to look at that, verses 4 through 9. All right, you ready? Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean. So you got two birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds, okay, well let's stop. Before we go any further, let's look at what you got here. We got two birds, we got a piece of cedar wood, we've got scarlet. What is that scarlet? That's a scarlet thread. Okay? Now, it don't represent the Kabbalah I was talking about earlier. What does the scarlet thread represent? It represents Christ. You remember the scarlet ribbon that Rahab the harlot was? There you go. It represents Jesus Christ, his blood. And then you've got hyssop. I always thought hyssop was different than it was. I looked at a picture of hyssop this morning. It's a tall purple flower. It looks like a brush. And that's the way it was used. It was used to apply things, and it was used here to apply blood. Hyssop, David said, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. You remember in Psalm 51, they took that hyssop. The blood of the lamb was sprinkled on the mercy seat by the high priest with hyssop. So you've got all these things. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. I want you to understand, this is a picture of Jesus Christ. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and let the living bird loose into the open field. So you've got one bird that's killed under the running water, and the blood of that bird gets on the wood, it gets on everything else, and it gets on the man that's to be cleansed of his leprosy. That bird being killed and that blood being shed represents Jesus Christ. And that blood is placed on that other bird, which is turned loose, which represents the cleansed one, set free by the blood of Christ. Amen. Maybe you can't see the picture as clear as God put it, but that's what it's there for. Let's finish reading down. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean, and after that he may come into the camp and tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days, but it shall be on the seventh day he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair shall he shave off, and he shall wash his clothes, he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. God, listen, it's not that the priest was able to clean anybody. Understand that. The preacher is not able to save anybody either. Amen? All I'm able to do is tell you about Jesus Christ who can set you free. All I can do is tell you about his blood that was shed for your sins. All I can do is sprinkle it towards you and say, here it is, take it. But I can't make you take it. I'm nothing. And that priest was nothing. He was simply doing his job that God had called him to do. He was representing this picture of the cleansing of a leper to represent Christ, even though he didn't understand that he was representing Christ necessarily, and though I don't think he fully had an understanding of who Jesus Christ was going to be exactly, but he believed on a Messiah that was coming. He believed on a Lamb of God, and because of that, he knew that he was doing this for God and showing the way of cleansing. But it was the man's faith that stood there that believed that if he obeyed God and he did what God would told him to do, that he would be healed. And it was his faith in God that healed him. It was God's power that healed him. As I read this morning, I got to thinking about, and I don't want to get too deep with you here this morning, but I got to thinking about these procedures, all these things that are gone through, that God said the two birds in the water and all the scarlet thread and the cedar and the water and all those things. And I got to thinking about something. I've said before so many times how everything in this world's upside down because Satan's in charge of this world right now. And everything looks like it's upside down from the way God wants it. You ever notice in witchcraft, I mean, we've heard all our life about witches and goblins and all this, and witches' brews and eye of newt and tail of this and all that. Isn't that just kind of backwards from what God shows in a picture? They're mocking because they incorporate blood into their rituals. They incorporate, but it's human blood. It's sinful blood. Listen, they put all kinds of potions and spells and things. They're simply doing what they're taking what God has done and they're mocking and perverting it. And they have faith in the power of that and the power of darkness. Of course, we know what's going to happen to them. But I want you to see how Satan mocks and mimics God, but he does it in a mocking way. Understand that. There's so much going on around us that we ought to be in such reverence of God. We ought to be in such dependence on God. If we understood the spiritual fight that's going on around us, if we understood that Satan is running the show in this world, it ought to keep us at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 17. I'll start there again. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Just like all the other lepers would do, they would stand afar off, they'd cover their mouth. Unclean! Unclean! They would yell. They didn't yell unclean to Jesus. He knew they were unclean. They asked for healing. To all other men, they would shout, get away, unclean, unclean. But to him, they'd already heard of him. They knew of his reputation. You see what they said to him? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. Leviticus 4, chapter 2, chapter 4, no, don't turn there. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2, what we read earlier. He's giving them the instruction that God gave to Moses. Amen. Christ is not trying to destroy anything. He's using it to show them. He's fulfilling it. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. So he said, go show yourself to the priest. They took off walking in faith, and they said, yes, sir, absolutely. And they're walking on their way to find the priest. And on the way, guess what? They looked down, and they were healed. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, I want to point that out first of all. He was the only one in the crowd that was a Samaritan. The only one. Somebody said, well, maybe the Samaritan that was robbed was the Samaritan in this story. I don't know that. I couldn't tell you. But I know this was a man who was not very much liked by the Jews. But yet, you see, when again, leprosy is a picture of sin. Before sin was, before anything, here, all these Jews who normally would reject him, they're all in the same boat. They're all rejected. That's what sin does. Sin puts us all on the level playing field. Do you see? Everybody's on the same level. Listen, it didn't matter to them when they were all filthy and unclean that one was a Samaritan and one was a Jew. No, and then it didn't even really matter because we're all vile and disgusting and rejected of everybody. Listen, if we could just see this world through those eyes and realize everybody outside these walls, listen, it doesn't make any difference what shade their skin is. We're all sinners that need salvation. It doesn't make a difference if we're born here in America or if we're born in Iraq. It doesn't make any difference if they're Russian, if they're African, if they're Australian. It doesn't make any difference where they're from. It doesn't make any difference what they've been lied to about. It doesn't make any difference what they've been indoctrinated with. They are all just like me and you. But this man, who wasn't even a Jew, he turned around. He saw. He said, a change is taking place in me. Listen to me. He said, a change is taking place in me, and I want to give glory to the one who did it. Thankfulness. He was thankful for what had happened to him. He was thankful that he wasn't dirty and filthy anymore. He was thankful that God had changed him. He was thankful that he'd been set free. He was thankful that he was clean. Can I say to you this morning about thankfulness that there are more people that are healed in this world than praise God for their healing? God heals people all the time, but there's a bunch of them that don't even praise God for it. Do you realize that there are a whole lot more people in this world? Listen, out of all the people that are saved, way more of them pray every day but don't praise every day. They ask for things. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, please do this for me. God, please do that for me. But they don't praise him when he does it. They just ask something else. Don't give him the glory he's due. Don't tell others how good he is. Don't brag on him. But we'll sure keep asking for stuff, won't we? Not really that thankful, are we? You know that a whole lot more people, I'm talking about people that are saved. Hey, there's a whole lot more of them that follow traditions and rituals than praise God. Oh, that's the way we've always done this now. We got to, listen, if you don't put the altar right, there's something wrong with you. If the pews ain't this way, or if you don't use that songbook over there, listen, they're worried about stuff and they don't even praise God. There's lots of places and lots of people and lots of churches who do just that. They're so hung up on tradition. They're so hung up on routine. They're so hung up on ritual, but they don't praise God. They sit on their sour rear ends with a solemn look on their face, and they won't even smile when God has bled and died for them. And I'm going to tell you, more believe than ever give God the praise for it. They believe. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you don't believe me, look here. 10. Right here in the Bible. 10 of them. You say, oh, the mothers probably didn't believe. Yeah, they did. They wouldn't have got the healing if they hadn't. Listen, they were headed. They were going to show the priest. They was going to do it just right, like the way Moses said do it. They was on their way to take care of it. Wow, we got healed. They just kept going. They never thought to turn around and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I owe all this to you. They didn't think to say that. No, they just went. They had gone. They was going on town just like this. That's part of business. That's the way we do. We just go on our lives like this is routine business. Been set free. Listen, I'm not going to hell, y'all. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He's my master. I want to give him glory today. Why do you think I sing songs about him? Why do you think I write songs about him? Because I love him. I want to praise him. That's why I tell people about him. I love him. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you, I can't keep it shut in. But I love him because he set me free, and I don't deserve it. I'm a filthy wretch. I was a dirty, rotten, leprous, nasty, vile dog. And God looked down at me, and he forgave me of my sin. And he deserves my praise. Even though it's, listen to me, even though I'm nothing, even though the best I can offer sounds horrible, the best I can offer sounds weak, he still loves my praise. True thankfulness. Let me tell you some things true thankfulness includes. If you want to be thankful, listen to me. True thankfulness, it includes or contains individuality. Hear what I'm saying. Listen, he separated from the rest. He separated from the crowd. He didn't care what they were doing. He didn't care where they were going. He said, I've got to go to him. I need to get by his side. I need to get at his feet. I need to get down there and praise him. I want to give him glory. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to give God the glory. You got to get out of your own head. And I don't mean to lose your mind. I mean you got to get out of your own head to thinking what are they going to think about me or what's somebody going to say about me. Quit worrying what anybody else thinks. When you die, you won't stand before them. They didn't die for you. True thankfulness contains individuality. It's individual praise. Sometimes it's when ain't nobody around. Sometimes, listen to me, the best praise is going down the road and my truck shouting glory to God by myself. Tears of joy and over what he's done for me. I can hear a song about what he's done for me and break my heart, make me will shed tears. And I thank God, ain't nobody around. Praise him. He deserves it. Praise him amongst others too, but praise him individually. It requires, listen to me, it contains urgency. He didn't wait till he got back from showing the priest. When it hit him, he said, hey, I've been changed. Whoa, I got to tell him, thank you, Jesus. I've been changed. An urgency. Don't let nothing hinder you. We let too many things hinder us from praising God. We worry about things. We let anything get in the way. But I don't want to disrupt nothing. Hallelujah. Disrupt it, praise God, a little bit. It won't hurt nothing. It might make somebody else say praise God. True thankfulness, it contains individuality, urgency, spirituality. It requires us to separate or crucify our flesh. It requires us to say, again, to say, it's not natural for me to shout and praise God. It's not natural. People, when you do that, people go, whoa. You know, sometimes they're not spiritual mode or spiritual mindset, and somebody else starts praising God, it kind of, whoa, what, you know. It requires us to say, you know what? Even though I don't care what nobody says. Hallelujah! I mean, listen, you got to get rid of that flesh that stops you. That's what Paul talks about, crucifying his flesh. I die daily. I always bring him up, but brother Darrell Weaver, my goodness, that man practices praise. He practices praise. You know it. Good night. If I called him when I get up through this message, if I picked up this phone and I called him right now, he'd say, glory to God, hallelujah, how you doing? or he quotes some scripture and hello. I mean, that's, he gives God glory with everything he does. And I'm telling you, what a role model he's been for me. I thank God for Brother Darrell. He's a good friend, and he's a role model of what a praising Christian ought to be. Amen. I don't know any other preacher, amen, who'll kick nearly as high as the ceiling from behind the pulpit giving God glory, amen. I mean, hallelujah. He ain't ashamed. It requires spirituality, getting out of your flesh. It requires humility. Again, not concerned with what anybody else thinks, but that's not all I mean by that. I mean completely submitted to God. Not letting somebody else hinder your worship. Not letting somebody else get in the way of your relationship with God. Humility. Humility to Him. Completely submitted. You see that man you did? He got on his face at his feet. He didn't just stand back there and, I mean, there's nothing wrong with raising your hands. I'm not downing anybody. But he didn't just stand way off and hold his hands up and bow his head and just sway back and forth. He didn't just stand there and clap. He went to his feet and he bowed down in submission and humility and said, oh, my Lord, thank you. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Requires worship if you're thankful. If you're really thankful, you'll worship God. So my last thought is this. Why be thankful and praise God? Let me give you some reasons to, and when we're done. Number one, it's right. He deserves our praise. He deserves our praise. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Everything that's alive should praise the Lord. It's right. Why should we be thankful and praise God? Because it is love manifested. It's how we show Him we love Him. When you love somebody, listen, when you fall in love, you want to write it in the sky and tell everybody, I'm loved. Hallelujah, I love this woman. Hallelujah. Thank God He'd give me somebody to love. I love my kids. I love my mama. Listen, when you let somebody know. I sat down yesterday and I took out my phone and I texted my wife and I told her how much I loved her and how much I appreciated her and how much she meant to me. And then I found my mama and I texted her and I told her how thankful I was for her giving me life and never giving up on me and always being there for me. And then I texted my stepmother and I told her, thank you for making me learn how to do things that I didn't know how to do and for making me do things that I didn't want to do and helping me to become who I'm supposed to be. I'm thankful. And when you do that, you let people know that you love them and you say something. You don't hold it inside. You tell them. Somebody said, don't send flowers to my funeral. Send them to me now, when I can appreciate them. Love manifested. Praise. When you love somebody, you want to build them up. You don't want to tear them down, and you sure don't want to just sit and be quiet about them. Why be thankful and praise God? Because it helps us see. Let me tell you something. When you grumble and gripe, hear me now, when you grumble and you gripe and you complain and you grumble all the time, you can't see nothing. It blinds your pathway because you're looking down all the time. You can't see where you're going. You can't see nothing. But when you start praising God and giving God the glory, He makes your pathway clear. It helps you to see. Number four, it pleases God. Pleases God. And lastly, if others, you know, you see, let me show you something right here. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? That's what he asked when this man began praising him down at his feet. Hear me, I'm almost done. He said, where are the 9? What did this man say? What did he say? Do you know? Do you know what he said? He didn't say nothing. You know why? He wasn't concerned with what everybody else was doing. He wasn't trying to be everybody else's keeper. He was focused on his own relationship with Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot of people, if they get focused on their own relationship with Christ and quit worrying about everybody else's, they'd be a whole lot better off. We got too many people trying to be principals and teachers. The Bible says, be not many masters, knowing they shall receive the greater condemnation. If we just focus on our own praise and our own giving God glory and God using our life instead of trying to worry about what everybody else is doing, we'd be a whole lot better off. Listen to me. The last thing I'm going to say here, if other people don't praise God like they should, it'll make you sad, but don't be disappointed, because it's always been that way. It was that way here. 9 out of 10. Didn't praise God a bit. Most people today don't praise God. You know what? Don't focus on the 9 that don't praise God. You be the one that does. Let's give God the glory he's due. I want to ask you something this morning. I want to ask this, and I know these that are in this room, I know your answer, but is there a leper that needs cleansing? Somebody whose life is eat up with sin. They can't do anything for you. You can't do a thing for yourself. It's separated you from God. It's separating you from those around you that love the Lord. It's going to destroy your life. It's going to take you where you don't intend to go, and it's going to wreck you. Is there a leper that needs cleansing? Jesus Christ has died for your sins. Jesus Christ has paid the price for you. Jesus Christ, he is the one who'll cover you in his blood and set you free. And wash you as white as snow. If you'll come to him and be saved, he'll save you today. I wonder this, is there somebody that's been cleansed that needs to turn back and give thanks today? Who has not been thanking God like they should? Is there somebody that needs to do that? These are not just words I'm talking. This is real. You see, Christ was pleased with the one that came back. It didn't bother him a bit that he was a Samaritan. Didn't bother him at all. He was glad that he came back. And I just wonder, how long has it been since you fell at his feet and you told him how much you loved him? Told him how much you thanked him for saving your soul, for setting you free from sin. You see, that's where we all ought to be. We all ought to turn back, and we all ought to fall at his feet, and we all ought to submit ourselves to him, and we all ought to give ourselves to him willingly. Say, Lord, you show me, you reveal to me what talents you've given me, and Lord, I'll use them for your glory. I'll praise you with whatever talents you've given me. And everybody's got something they can do. That's your purpose in life, is to find out what that one thing is you can do for God and do it with everything you got. Turn back and give him glory. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Father, for Lord, that you never give up on us. Lord, even though we're unthankful sometimes, even though we're selfish and we forget, we wander, Lord, you never forget us. You never wander from us. Lord, you've set those of us that have come to you and believed and trusted upon your shed blood, trusted and believed in your death, burial, and resurrection, you've set us free. And Lord God, we're clean. But many of us have become ungrateful. Many of us have become stale and cold and indifferent. And this world, Lord, this world has weighed us down, and we have so many cares in this world. Lord, we've forgotten who bought us. We've forgotten who set us free. Forgive us. Lord, may we return and fall down at your feet. Thank you for saving us. Lord, I pray for each and every one who's heard the message today. I pray, Father, have your way in their life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.